This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. For a lot of people, traveling is a consistent life goal, whether it's about adventure during their vacations from work or perhaps working towards a retirement filled with travel. But in the case of the former, travel can be a challenge when you're limited to only 2 or 3 weeks of vacation a year.
A Milwaukee-based startup is reaching professionals who want to combine travel, work, and volunteerism. Venture with Impact is the brainchild of Wisconsin native Ann Davis and sends participants abroad to various locations around the world. Davis joins us in the studio to explain her company. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Mitch.
Before we get into the story of Venture with Impact, I'd like to hear your story. What is your background that makes it gel so well with what the work you're doing is now?
Sure. Well, first, I think it's important to say that I am an avid traveler. I've had the opportunity to travel to over 40 countries and 5 continents. And part of what allowed me to do that was I used to be a teacher. I participated in the Teach for America program in New Orleans, and then I continued to teach in Brooklyn. And while teaching, I had the summers off, and I took advantage of all my vacations. So I traveled abroad every chance that I had.
Why was that so important for you?
I think traveling, just what I've noticed in myself and in other people as well, is it really gives you the opportunity to gain new perspectives, understand the opinions of others, understand new cultures. And I really have changed as a person, I would say. And each time that I spend abroad, I change a little bit more and I grow a bit more.
Was there a moment when you realized that that was happening to you? You know, were you someplace else and you realize that this is really more than just going someplace different? This is about transforming my life?
So actually, well, I do have a story that's a bit more personal. I did have the travel bug early on. However, in my first year of teaching, I found out that I was actually on a run with some friends. And we all of a sudden I felt a tingle in my left foot. Fell to the ground and had a grand mal seizure. Was rushed to the hospital. The emergency room doctor came in with tears in her eyes and later, a couple weeks later, found out that I had been diagnosed with brain cancer. So that was kind of the impetus for traveling more and more. And just to say, I'm completely fine now. I've been in remission for almost 5 years.
That's terrific.
Yeah. So that kind of gave me new perspective. I knew that one of the things that I valued most was traveling because I was interested in learning about other people and other cultures, and I really enjoyed it. So that's something that I wanted to make a priority. And then after teaching for a few years and realizing after speaking with friends, family who are somewhat envious of my ability to be able to travel so much, I thought, well, yes, it's very difficult for the average American. 2 weeks of vacation, 3 weeks of vacation, that's not enough time, especially to stay in one country and really have the opportunity to soak in the culture. So I came up with the idea with a friend of mine for Venture with Impact.
So along those lines, walk us through what the objective then of Venture with Impact is. Given this background, you know, what's the objective both for the people who sign up and seek you out and for the communities and the programs to which they're traveling?
The way the program works is we set up the logistics for professionals, groups of professionals between 5 and 15 for each month to come abroad with us in a city and stay there. We provide accommodation and workspace so that they can then work remotely for their jobs back home throughout the 1 month period that they're abroad.
So they're working remotely. Do I gather they're also somehow they're participating in things that are going on in the communities where they're staying as well?
Exactly. So we also have a social impact component, which means we match each of our participants with a pro bono project that they work on with a partner organization for a few hours each week.
Well, and so, you know, talk about the kinds of partners that you're matching them with.
Sure, yeah. So we have various partners in each of our locations, and we've had—
There are three locations at the moment, right?
Yes, yeah. So we've had programs in Peru, currently have programs in Medellin, Colombia, and then are adding programs in Thailand and Portugal next year. Many different nonprofit organizations and a few social businesses, actually, from environmental organizations, education, those that work with children, even human trafficking. And each individual, each professional has a personalized project. So, for example, we had a lawyer a couple of months ago that taught human rights workshops to the staff of a few nonprofits in Medellin. We've had educators teach workshops on curriculum development or behavior management, marketing, people with backgrounds in marketing provide consulting on social media or marketing plans. It really varies.
So is it wrong for people to approach this thinking that this is a vacation or this is, I mean, it sounds like a working vacation on a number of levels?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. So primarily, we like to think of ourselves as what we call a workation program. And the work part comes in if you are able to work remotely. We want all people to be able to, all professionals to be able to participate. So professionals can work remotely 40 plus hours a week. And we have many, the majority of our participants work remotely. And then we also have people that are between jobs. It may be surprising to some, but people have a lot of time to explore the city, even to travel on the weekends to other parts of the country, partly because everything's set up for them. So we try to make it as easy as possible for them to find their favorite coffee shop and check out different museums in the evenings when they're not working, things like that.
So, yeah, what's the sort of support they have on the ground from you or from your company?
Yeah. So in each location, we have a program director as well as at least one local staff person helping out. And they're available 24/7. So we'll pick you up from the airport. We have a cultural orientation at the beginning. And another cool thing that we do is we do a structured weekly meetup where we talk about the projects that each person's working on. We at the beginning talk about cultural differences and communication. Set goals, create metrics, and then track the progress of the projects throughout the month.
Right. I imagine you're sensitive to the idea, and we should note that there's no requirement that the people who are traveling are Americans themselves. But what I'm guessing is you wouldn't want them to come to these countries and seem like the Americans trying to have a cultural experience.
Yes. Yeah. And that's another reason why we try to keep our programs smaller, between 5 and 15 people, because we've noticed it gives people more of an opportunity. They really form a community among each other, but they also have more of a push and an opportunity to form relationships with the staff at their partner organization or other locals in the city.
You've been doing this for how long now?
So we launched our first program in Peru in January of 2017. So, and we've done 8 months of programming since.
Well, so talk about the kinds of experiences that people have had that you've heard about. What are you hearing from the people who have gone to these places?
Yeah, and I've been there for a little bit more than half of our programs. And the experiences range quite a bit. A couple of the really cool stories, we had a couple from Los Angeles that came, and at the end of the program, they decided that they basically fell in love with Medellin in Colombia and decided they wanted to adopt a child from the country.
Wow.
So they obviously had a very impactful experience. Yeah.
So you could be doing this program from anywhere in the world. Why do you do it here in Milwaukee?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'm from the Waukesha area.
Okay.
I went to Kettle Moraine High School. But
I guess that counts.
Yeah. 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 And now, I mean, I'm based in Milwaukee. I stay here and I'm part of Generator's G Beta program. That's kind of why I'm back here in Milwaukee for a couple of months.
And then you will go off to these various program sites once the next round of programs begins?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Is there any kind of requirement that people who are going places like Colombia or Thailand or Portugal speak the language?
No, there's no requirement. Of course, it's helpful But that's one of the factors we take into account as well when matching people with their partner organization. And then we also have connections with language teachers. So if people want to take, oftentimes, especially in the Spanish-speaking countries, take lessons, I think there's going to be a demand for Portuguese as well.
You were mentioning in your background you did Teach for America. And you know, I was thinking about these programs. And obviously there's a difference here because people have to pay to participate in this.
Yes.
It might not be as much as they might pay otherwise if they were doing it on an ad hoc basis. But do you see this as maybe, you know, for people dipping a toe into the water of service programs, whether it's Teach for America or Peace Corps or anything along those lines?
Exactly. That's definitely a big part of the idea is that, you know, again, going back to Americans only having a couple weeks of vacation a week if you're working full time, people don't have the financial means to necessarily take off off a year or many months to be able to travel abroad and do service abroad. So
this obviously works well for people who are able to telecommute or, you know, work remotely for a couple of weeks and maybe take a couple of weeks off from their jobs as part of this. And I gather one of the guarantees is that there will be internet service.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is the bread and butter of our company because we know that the majority of our participants are working remotely. So we make sure that all the accommodation has reliable internet and backup satellite internet and that there's co-working spaces within walking distance.
Do you have ideas? I mean, I would imagine you do. I mean, this is you're still, I guess, a startup at this point. Do you have ideas for where this goes in, you know, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
Sure. Yeah. So what we'd like, I mean, we will be expanding to new locations, absolutely. And then moving forward, we really like to partner with companies because it's great for them in terms of especially the millennials. I mean, all professionals want to be able to travel, but millennials are a bit more demanding, I'd say, in terms of flexibility and benefits and what they get out of their job and from their employer. So I think it's a really good opportunity for companies to allow their employees to work remotely. They're still getting the productivity and potentially happier employees. And then, of course, the corporate social responsibility piece that they're able to do these pro bono projects.
How are you reaching people?
My business partner and I have primarily used our networks, but also social media, digital marketing has been effective. And word of mouth primarily.
And I guess maybe in a nuts and bolts way, you know, obviously there's a cost to participate. But, you know, I would imagine that at some point demand is going to greatly outstrip supply in the sense that, you know, more people will be interested than there are slots in each of these programs. How do you establish who gets to go?
So we do have an application process. We have an online application, and then we do a phone interview with each applicant. And we just want to make sure, so it depends on the needs of our organizations, where we place each person. So moving forward, if having enough demand, then it will most likely be based off of the specific skills and the needs that we match. However, there are so many organizations that have various needs. So you know, it's more about the participants, not having enough participants to fill those needs or enough professionals to assist with those partner organizations.
So there is still a lot of demand.
Sure.
And I guess along those lines, how are you finding the organizations that want to be a part of this, you know, in these various cities?
Sure. Yeah. So we're on the ground. Initially, we develop relationships with a few different organizations based on referrals, and then referrals happen from there. So just having lots of connections in the city, we make sure we vet the organizations by meeting with their staff, visiting their project sites, and then getting a really good understanding of their needs.
So almost a full year into this, do you feel like it's gone as you'd hoped?
I think so, yeah. I mean, being an entrepreneur, and I'll even say female entrepreneur, is definitely difficult sometimes, but yeah, it's been well worth it. I think that things in reality move really quickly, but when you're in the day-to-day grind, you feel like you're not making the progress that you'd like to. But yes, I mean, considering what we've done in less than a year, I think it's been great.
The view from 30,000 feet, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, Ann Davis, it's a great story. Thank you so much and best of luck moving forward.
Yeah, thank you.
Ann Davis founded the Wisconsin-based Venture with Impact. You'll find a link to more about the company at wuwm.com.